Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk to you about Bangladesh. And Bangladesh is the third country from South Asia that has now applied to both the IMF, the World Bank, and the Asia Development Bank for bailout facilities. And it's actually applied for total facilities of $6.5 billion. So this is the biggest single application that we've seen from any country so far. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at Bangladesh. We'll talk about what resources the country has, what the economy looks like, how the balance of trade works for Bangladesh, and why it's got itself into a difficult situation and needs to seek a bailout. I'll then go on to talk about the bailout applications that the country's made to the three aid agencies, and we'll have a look at how those facilities work. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary, and we'll talk about why the war in Ukraine is causing so many problems for countries like Bangladesh, and what the implications of all of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so you can skip over things if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Bangladesh is located in the northeastern part of the Indian subcontinent, in the delta of the Ganges and Jamuna rivers. Bangladesh is currently ranked as the eighth largest country in the world by population. Current population is just over 171 million. And because of the relatively small geographic size of the country, it's one of the most densely populated countries in the world. Bangladesh was formerly part of India, which was under British rule between 1700 and 1947. The land area now called Bangladesh was mainly a delta formed by the Ganges and Jamuna rivers in the northeastern province of the Indian subcontinent, and was protected by forests to the west and a myriad of watercourses in the centre. As a result of this, the area was relatively inaccessible and became home to a distinctive regional culture, and the area became known as Bengal. When the British colonial rule of India ended in August 1947, two new countries, India and Pakistan, were born, and Bengal was split between them. West Bengal went to India, and East Bengal formed the eastern wing of Pakistan, which was bisected by a vast tract of northern India. East Bengal was ruled by Pakistan between 1947 and 1971. Bengali discontent against Pakistani rule started to rise in the late 1960s. And a number of military disturbances took place in the country before Bangladesh declared its independence on the 26th of March 1971. However, independence has proved to be challenging for Bangladesh, and over the last 50 years, it's faced a variety of political turmoil, military coups, natural disasters, widespread poverty, and some famine. Bangladesh does not have a large abundance of natural resources. It does have some gas reserves. There are around 26 fields that are currently in production. It also has a limited amount of oil. It first started drilling for oil in the late 1980s, and it does have some coal. But overall, Bangladesh is a net importer of energy products, so it doesn't produce enough energy to be able to feed its own domestic needs. The main resources that Bangladesh has today are its people and its land. It's one of the most fertile land areas in the world, so it can grow lots of crops, and it's got lots and lots of people. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the density of population in Bangladesh is amongst the highest in the world. And as a result of this, the main industry in terms of exports is the production of garments and clothing. Almost half the population are employed in this industry, with the other main form of employment being agriculture. In addition to the people in employment, a large portion of the population are working on a subsistence agriculture basis. So that means that they're working in the fields to grow their own food. This chart shows the revenue breakdown of exports for Bangladesh. And as you can see, exports are entirely dominated by the production of clothing. Bangladesh offers low-cost labour for the rest of the world, and the country has large factories that are producing huge volumes of clothing. And you can see from the geographical split that these clothes are sent all around the world. This chart shows the breakdown of the goods that are imported into Bangladesh. And as you can see, there is a large variety of categories that Bangladesh are importing. They don't have a lot of their own natural resources, and so they're therefore importing a lot of energy products. They're importing some raw materials to be used in the manufacturing of clothing, and they're also importing large amounts of food. In terms of which countries they're sourcing these goods from, China and India represent the two largest trading partners in terms of imports. This chart shows the movement in GDP over the last 10 years in Bangladesh, and as you can see, there has been a steady growth in the total GDP from the country. And in 2021, total GDP was above $416 billion. And this chart shows the GDP per capita. So this metric is looking at the gross domestic product per person. And the reason that I wanted to highlight this is because of the rapid growth in the population in Bangladesh. They've got an explosion in terms of the number of people. And you can see that GDP per capita has also been rising. So this is positive news, because the concern when you've got a rising population is that if GDP per capita is falling, then that obviously means that more people are adding less value to the economy. However, what we're seeing from this chart is that as the population is growing, so is the GDP. So that's a positive from Bangladesh's perspective. This chart shows the monthly minimum wage in Bangladesh. And as you can see, the current minimum is 8,000 Bangladeshi taka. Now, the exchange rate to the US dollar is roughly around 100 taka to the dollar. So that means that the minimum monthly wage in Bangladesh is currently $80 per month. And as you can see from this chart, that minimum wage hasn't moved for the last 4 years. So this really puts the whole picture into perspective. This is why a lot of multinational companies are going to Bangladesh for the production of their clothing, because it is so cheap. If you're only having to pay people $80 per month as a minimum, then that means that you can make clothing very, very cheaply. And the problem in terms of the economy is that if you're only paying people $80 per month, then they've only got $80 per month to live on. So that really limits the growth of the economy. And that is a major problem for a country like Bangladesh, who's a net importer. This chart shows the balance of trade in Bangladesh over the last 5 years. And as you can see, all of the figures on this table are negative. So Bangladesh is running a negative balance of trade, which means that it's paying more for all of its imports than it's earning from its exports. And this table is shown in Bangladeshi taka. And as I just mentioned, the exchange rate is roughly around 100 taka to the dollar. So the current negative level of 250 billion taka equates to around $2.5 billion. And if we look briefly at the latest breakdown, you can see that the exports are entirely dominated by clothing. More than 80% of all of the revenue that Bangladesh is earning is coming from low labor cost clothing. This table shows the current split for imports, and you can start to see why Bangladesh is in such a dire situation right now. And this really starts to highlight the reasons why Bangladesh has got itself into a difficult financial position, because it's importing a large amount of energy products. And as you'll be fully aware, the price of energy products has risen dramatically in 2022 following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in addition to the energy products, they're also importing large quantities of food. And it's been a similar story for food. We've seen the global price of wheat and corn and oil rise dramatically since the start of the Ukraine war. And this chart shows the official figures for the current account for Bangladesh over the last 12 months. And as you can see, in line with the balance of trade, Bangladesh has been running in a negative position for all of the last year. This table shows the official rate of inflation in Bangladesh over the last 12 months. And whilst the absolute rate of inflation is not off the scale, it's still less than 10%. So it's not in the same category as countries like Turkey or Sri Lanka. We've seen a large relative increase in May and June, and 7.5% is still a high rate of inflation. I think at the moment, because we've got such high inflation all across the world, you can start having a misconception that 7.5% looks pretty good, when actually that's a really high rate of inflation. And if I relate this back to what we just looked at in terms of the minimum wage in Bangladesh, there's been no movement in minimum wages for the last 4 years. And to put that into perspective, this chart shows the rate of inflation over the last 5 years. So you can see that inflation has been increasing at more than 5% consistently over the last 5 years. So that means that in relative terms, The lack of increase in minimum wage actually means a reduction in the standard of living, because if you're being paid the same today as you were being paid 4 years ago, and inflation has been rising at least 5%, then you are significantly worse off today than you were 5 years ago. And this chart shows the official rate of interest in Bangladesh over the last 5 years. So you can see that there's been a steady reduction and that the rate has remained steady at 4.75% for the last 12 months or so. Now, as we see a continued increase in inflation, there will be pressure on the Bangladeshi central bank to raise these interest rates. But obviously that is a problem when you've got very low wages in the country, you've got people who just can't afford to live anyway, rising inflation. If you then add extra cost in terms of debt increases, then that could cause major problems. This chart shows the movement in the exchange rate between the Bangladeshi taka and the US dollar over the last 12 months. So you can see that this time last year, the taka was trading at around 85 to 1 US dollar. Now, we've seen a deterioration over the last couple of months, and the rate is now trading closer to 95 taka to $1. So in June, we saw a rapid deterioration in this exchange rate. And this is really the problem that Bangladesh is facing right now, is that all of the problems have been building up and they're now starting to come to a head. And this is a story you'll be familiar with if you've been following my postings on Turkey. As the central bank runs out of funding, it can no longer support the currency in the international markets. And then we tend to see a weakening. And that's exactly what we've seen here in Bangladesh. And a weakening of the domestic currency is a major problem for a net importer. Because Bangladesh is having to import large quantities of energy for fuel and gasoline and also food, as those prices have risen in the international markets, they've had to be passed on to consumers. So there's been a general price increase driven by the increase in prices as a result of the Ukraine war. But in addition to that global price increase, you're also having to pay more relatively in taka because the value of the taka has fallen against the dollar. So once again, this is a double whammy situation for Bangladesh. The prices have increased anyway in the international markets, but at the same time as that's happened, the value of the taka has fallen. So relatively, the prices have risen even greater than they have in the international markets. And when you combine those factors with very low wages and the lack of wage increases, that means that the cost of living has gone up and the standard of living has gone down for most Bangladeshis. Bangladesh has now applied to the International Monetary Fund for a $4.5 billion bailout loan. As a result of increase in international energy and food prices, Bangladesh's current account deficit increased to $17.2 billion in July, compared with a deficit of $2.8 billion for the same period in 2021. Foreign exchange reserves fell to $39.67 billion on July the 20th, compared to $45.5 billion held this time last year. Now, the amount of the application is really interesting here because $4.5 billion is significantly more than Bangladesh is entitled to under the quota system operated by the IMF. The IMF's Resilience and Sustainability Trust caps funds at 150% of a country's quota, which in Bangladesh's case means a maximum loan of $1 billion. However, despite this, the IMF has stated that it's prepared to support Bangladesh's loan request, although no details of the exact amount being discussed have been disclosed. In addition to the $4.5 billion being sought from the IMF, Bangladesh has also requested a $1 billion facility from the World Bank and a further $1 billion loan from the Asian Development Bank. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because once again, we're seeing another country that is a net importer struggling to be able to balance the books. Countries that are importing large amounts of energy and food have really suffered since the start of the Ukraine war. We saw a massive spike in the cost of oil and coal and gas and food products in the initial months following the outbreak of the conflict. And although some of the prices have started to come back down, the devastating blow that was dealt to a lot of these countries isn't something that's easy to shake off because everybody's had to pay more initially. That's drained all of the capital reserves that a lot of countries have had. They haven't then been able to support their currency in the international markets. So a lot of currencies have weakened, and that's leaving these countries in a really vulnerable situation. And that's exactly what's happened to Bangladesh. Bangladesh's infrastructure has been set up to predominantly focus on natural gas and oil. Around two-thirds of all of the electricity produced in the country comes from natural gas, predominantly because Bangladesh has natural gas fields. And so those facilities were set up initially to be able to benefit from their domestic supply. However, they no longer produce enough natural gas to be able to feed their own power stations. So they're now having to import it. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that natural gas has been one of the fuels that has risen dramatically in price. Because of what's going on in Europe, where Russia is the predominant supplier to most countries, we've seen a large increase in the demand for liquefied natural gas, and that's forced up global prices. And Bangladesh has really become a victim of that. So although Bangladesh is a very long way from Eastern Europe, and a lot of people in Bangladesh have probably never even heard of Ukraine before this conflict started, because of what's happening in that country, it's had a devastating impact on all of the people in Bangladesh. Because as the country's bought in more and more gas at higher prices, it's run out of money. Therefore, the Bangladeshi taka has started to devalue. And it's now meaning that everybody in Bangladesh is having to pay a lot more for all of the goods and services that are imported. And because Bangladesh is importing a lot of food substances, that means that the poorest members of society are suffering the worst. As you'll know, if you follow the channel, poorest people in the world don't really have any headroom. They don't have any savings and they don't have any money left over at the end of the month to be able to buy luxury items. They're spending anywhere between 80 and 100% of all of their income on food. And if the price of food rises by 10%, it generally means that the poorest members of society can buy 10% less food. They don't have any more money to be able to spend. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And that's why the government of Bangladesh has approached the IMF and the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank for loan facilities, because it knows that it's running out of cash and it doesn't want to get to the same situation that Sri Lanka's in. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Sri Lanka went down a similar road to Bangladesh, and then we saw a lot of civil unrest. People were unable to buy food and fuel. That meant they couldn't go to work, therefore they couldn't earn, and it becomes a very vicious circle. So protests started happening on the streets. We saw people storming the president's residency. One of the prime minister's houses was set on fire, and we've now seen a change of government. But that hasn't really solved the problem. The fundamental issue for Sri Lanka is they don't have any money, therefore they can't buy in all the things they need. So Bangladesh is trying to stay ahead of the game here. It's currently running a negative balance of trade, so it knows that it's running short of cash. And at some point, it could get to the same sort of situation that Sri Lanka's in. It wants to avoid that. So it's made an application to bring in around $6.5 billion of cash. Now, it's unlikely that they'll get anywhere near that amount. As I mentioned earlier, the maximum amount that Bangladesh is allowed to borrow from the IMF is $1 billion. And this is based against the contributions that each country make. The IMF allows anybody to borrow up to 150% of the contribution that that country gave to the IMF. So $1 billion is the cap. And I would guess that at the moment, the IMF is inundated with applications and they've only got a limited amount of cash. So in terms of the impact on the global economy, I think it's going to be a situation where the IMF has to cut its cloth accordingly. So maybe it would like to give Bangladesh $3 or $4 billion, but realistically, I don't think it's going to be able to do so. So even if it does provide the maximum agreed facility of $1 billion, that probably isn't enough to get Bangladesh through this difficult period. So there is a very real possibility here that even if Bangladesh does get this money from the IMF and the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank, that it still won't be enough to get the country through. And that means that it will then need to apply for emergency bailout funding. So this is all really bad news for Bangladesh, but it's also really bad news for the global economy, because Bangladesh is an important member of the international community. It's providing a lot of low-cost labour. And if Bangladesh gets into difficulty and those factories can't get electricity and can't operate, then that means that they won't be able to produce anything. And the knock-on impact of that is that the companies who are sourcing from Bangladesh will no longer be able to source those products. That means they won't be able to provide the stock. That means that their sales will fall, their profits will fall, and potentially those companies could get into financial difficulty. They will then also need to find alternative suppliers, and those alternative suppliers will be at a higher cost, because Bangladesh has one of the lowest wages in the world. So there isn't really anywhere to go to get a cheaper price than that. So if the supply price increases, that means that those companies will have to increase their costs. That then will drive up inflation further. So you can start seeing what the knock-on impact of what's happening in Bangladesh is for the global economy. So this is all really bad news for all of us, unfortunately. And of course, the overriding factor here is that somebody is going to have to pick up the bill for bailing out Bangladesh and other countries. And ultimately, this will go on to the global debt pile. So that as the pile gets bigger, the globe gets into more debt and we have to pay more interest. And so it goes on. And so it starts to put even more pressure on the global economy. So unfortunately, what's happening in Bangladesh right now will have a ripple effect all across the world. It will impact on all economies and on everybody. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and educational. I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments that's coming out of Bangladesh or anything else that I think is relative. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.